following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above the soon-to-be-opening Daniela's Restaurant. They're making lots of improvements down there. They've been working hard over the past couple of weeks, and I can't wait for them to open up for both lunch and dinner. Daniela's Restaurant going to be opening up really soon, but we are entering fall. Summer seems to now be behind us. It was time. I know on Tuesday we're closing up our pool at the house. Sad day at the Friedman residence because we love having the backyard and the pool ready to go, but it's time to move on. And also, I know tonight starts the holiday of Yom Kippur. So to all of our Jewish friends out there, I'm Jewish myself, wishing you all an easy fast for this upcoming Yom Kippur, which starts tonight and goes all day on Monday until sunset, of course. But here we are heading into now almost the month of October. Halloween decorations are out. Even Christmas stuff is starting to show up on the store shelves. What will Halloween look like this year? We're starting to get all sorts of reports about how things will be a bit different. I think I might have heard that haunted happenings might be quite different this year in the city of Salem. I think I heard actually on this radio station that there's going to be some virtual tours of some homes and haunted houses in Salem that you can do from the comfort of your own home or through your own video player. And we'll see. Things are going to be different. I mean, I'm still good with doing trick-or-treating. I'm happy to hand out candy on an extended arm if I have to, or greet people if necessary. But I wish they can still do trick-or-treating. And the kids, of course, they're back to school. Some of them are working remotely completely. Some are starting this hybrid model, and some are actually in school every day. Every school has had to prepare a little bit differently. And I think, to tell you the truth, I my hat's off to the school administrators, to the teachers, to the custodians, to the lunch workers, everybody who works in the school departments for really trying to figure out how we can get our kids back to school, get them educated, and do what's best in a very challenging period of time. But I do think we're moving forward. Look, here in Massachusetts, our positive rate is under 1%. In fact, if I saw it this past week, I think they said it was 0.8% is our positive rate. So we're doing our part here in Massachusetts. It sounds like some other states are still having their share of challenges. Of course, there are going to be pockets of challenges all around the country, even here in the here in Massachusetts. We've heard about some issues that happened at Merrimack College in North Andover. But I mean, it's not shutting down the town. They're beginning to isolate it. Schools have this thing under control. And I think we're moving forward. Charlie Baker this week announced that I think starting on Monday, restaurants can now allow up to 10 people at a table, which for my family is a big bonus because there's seven of us in my family. I've got five kids. So usually we just leave one in the car. No, I'm kidding. We don't leave them in the car. We'll separate into four and threes, or actually, to tell you the truth, with my two of my kids out of the house now and two off at college, it's rare that all seven of us are at home anyways. But I'm thankful for Charlie Baker to extending this a little bit, giving us the opportunity to have tables up to tables of 10 at restaurants. I think now you can sit at the bar, socially distanced, of course, to have a meal. And so restaurants are going to start to come back. I mean, it is an opportunity for the economy to continue to grow, for us to continue to keep people employed. There are some industries, though, that continue to get hurt. Of course, that's the theaters. I mean, gosh, if you're the folks over at the North Shore Music Theater, that I think to myself, October, this is big time for them to be doing their big shows over at the music theater. And I just love going to the theater in the round. They're unable to do their types of shows. Movie theaters are starting to come back slowly. But, you know, the big concerts, the big conferences, the ball games, all that kind of stuff, it's been interesting. I don't know if you've watched the Celtics and the Patriots, of course. The Patriots did it without any fans in the stands, but the Celtics have had these virtual fans as of late. I had the opportunity to be a virtual fan in a couple games. It's been interesting to be part of that whole thing. And unfortunately, in game one against, I think it was the Philadelphia 76ers, I got caught picking my teeth. They had zoomed into the virtual seats there, and there I was with my finger in my teeth picking some chicken out of it. And I didn't even know I was on, but I started getting texts and Facebook messages from friends saying that they saw me. So, you know, when you are the virtual fan, they're going to get you sometimes. But it's been fun. I think the sporting industry has done the very best that they can, and I think we're all doing the very best we can. But one thing that we have found is that we're all spending a little bit less money. Look, I mean, even going shopping right now doesn't even seem to be fun. I was talking to my cousin Scott, who used to be the general manager over at Jordan's Furniture. And surprisingly, he told me that sales are up dramatically for the month of August. Now, you might think, wait a second. Furniture sales are up in the month of August. I thought people were, you know, social distancing and all of that. Well, we are. We're able to go to the furniture store. But what's interesting is he said, sales are up, but foot traffic at the department store is way, way, way down. So it's interesting. Many people that are going to purchase something, whether it's an appliance, whether it's furniture, whether it's clothes or whatever, you're basically going in with the intention to buy, not the intention to, in our Jewish term, we call it to shmai, to look around, to just kind of browse. People are going in and they're buying. They want to get in and they want to get out. But that's going to change. I'm remaining optimistic that we're going to continue to forge through this. Dr. Fauci came out this past week and talked about the fact that he believes that a vaccine will be available by the end of the year, and that perhaps by the end of April, everybody could be vaccinated. Now, remember, when vaccines are available, I know I am not going to be at the top of the list to get a vaccine, even if I wanted one. The vaccines need to go to those that need it the most. Certainly our frontline workers, those working in the hospitals, in the emergency rooms, in doctor's offices, police officers, firefighters, ambulance workers, all of those people, they need to get that vaccine. And so do all of our elderly and those that are having some health issues. They need to be vaccinated first. So it's going to go in a series of hierarchies in the way this vaccine will be disseminated out to everybody. So be patient. Be patient, folks. We've gone this far. I mean, I would have never thought when we shut down back on March 15th or 16th that we'd still be walking around with masks and traveling around the country carefully, avoiding, you know, going long distances, avoiding just hugging and seeing people. It's whoever thought that this would be the case. But chances are we probably have another 6 months ahead of us. And then hopefully we can start to unwind back to a normal. Anyways, I'm here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. One of the things I want to share with you today is something that's called the hierarchy of financial needs. I don't know what it is, but the past 2 months, our phone has been ringing off the hook. A lot from listeners here of the radio show, but others that know people who work with us. They've been reaching out and they're saying, you know, Mark, I was working with a financial advisor, or I've been trying to do this on my own, but I realized now I've got to get kind of serious. It was nice to have a stockbroker here, an investment guy here, an insurance person, a tax preparer, an attorney, all of these people that were in my life, but nobody knew where everything was and what everything is worth. And when I listen to you on the radio, that's what you talk about, starting with the big picture first. And so many people are asking to leave their current financial advisor because their advisor only talked to them about their investment accounts. And when they would call their advisor or their advisor called them, the advisor would be calling to sell them another investment or to get out of something and to get into something else. That's not the approach that we take at Friedman Financial. It's not the approach that many certified financial planners take. We start with the basis of understanding your financial needs first. And one of the first things that we need to understand is what your goals are. And oftentimes that becomes one of the hardest conversations because most people are just thinking about living day to day, hoping they reach retirement at some point. And that's about it. They don't think about what are the objectives? What are they trying to accomplish as they accumulate wealth, as they accumulate money, as they start to pay down debt, as they start to make more money? What are we trying to get to? And it's been a challenge. Yet we have the software, we have the systems, we have the technology. I sound like the $6 million man commercial, to really help you understand where you stand today and how you can get to the places you want to be. Oftentimes people will talk to us about goals. And when I ask them about what are some of your goals, sometimes people will say, well, geez, when I retire, I want to travel. Well, I got to tell you that that's probably the answer that 95% of the people say to me when they tell me they want to retire. So that's nice, but let's try to monetize that. Let's try to quantify. What does travel mean? You know, there are many people that I've met and many people here just in Massachusetts who have never traveled anything west of the Mississippi River. Maybe they've driven up and down the East Coast. They've flown down to Florida. They've visited Washington, D.C. and New York. Maybe they've seen the Liberty Bell. Maybe they've gone up to Nova Scotia or to Maine or maybe to Montreal. But they've never been to the middle part of the country. And on some rare occasion, they might have gone out to the West Coast. So when they say they want to travel, sometimes they're talking about doing a Mississippi riverboat cruise. Sometimes it's doing a cruise or a tour of the Rocky Mountains. Sometimes it's going to wine country out in California. And other times when they say they want to travel, now they want to go to Europe, to Italy, to Germany, to France, to Spain, to England, to the Far East, to go to Japan, to Vietnam, to Thailand, to China. Everybody's visions and goals of where they want to go to travel are different. And how we do that traveling, how we get to those spots can cost money, but you can always do it on a variety of different budgets. But I oftentimes find many people wish to travel at a better level than they were traveling when they were living in their normal life. They say, when I hit retirement, that's when I really want to do the nice trip. I want to spend money to know that I'm going on a quality trip because many of the places that I'll visit will likely be once in a lifetime opportunities. And so we try to help you quantify what that looks like. We try to set that goal. We set that bar so that we know that there's an allocation of money that's set aside to help you do that either one time in your life or many times in your life. Because you'll always have your day-to-day expenses. You'll always have those, but those special opportunities that you want to make sure that you do it right, we want to make sure that you have the resources available so that you can do it right. All right, we have to take a quick break, but when we get back, I want to talk to you about what I call the hierarchy of financial needs. But in the interim, I want to remind you about our free weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. In fact, the chart I'm going to talk about in the next segment is about included the hierarchy of financial needs in our newsletter this past week. You can get planning pointers by going to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to any page on our website, scroll down to the bottom, and it says sign up for planning pointers. Put your name in, your email address, and that's all you got to do. Hit send, and next Friday, you start getting our free weekly newsletter. All right, that's going to do it for now. I've got to take a quick break. When we're back, we're going to talk about the hierarchy of financial needs. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. This is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108
That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above the soon-to-be-opening Daniela's Restaurant. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area since 1968. In fact, my father started back then almost 52 years ago. Now, Dad has since retired. He retired in 2007. I joined the firm in 1991. So that puts me at, I guess, 29 years of doing this. And in many cases, when you've listened to the radio show, you've heard our business partner, or my business partner, Marion Gilman. And Marion's been with me 20 years. Hard to believe 20 years. And even more recently, I think even last week, you heard our newest financial planner. He's been with me 3 years. His name is Christian Karcher. And he's been on the show as well. So our office is actually quite small. There's five of us here. There's Marion, myself, and Christian as the financial planners. Then there's Sonia, who's our operations manager, and Jody, who is the office manager. We have a social media person, we've got a bookkeeper, but they do kind of part-time work here at the office. So our office is relatively small. Many people are asking, Mark, are you seeing clients in office right now? And the answer is not yet. I want to say no, it's not yet. We're getting closer. But right now, we want to make sure that everybody can be safe. We've used Zoom technology as a great tool for getting to meet many new clients, people who listen to the radio show. We can connect up and talk a little bit to see if you'd be a good fit for the office. But even for our 450 households that we serve, we are hosting Zoom meetings with them where we can interact. And it amazes me how well everybody is adapting to this new video technology. It's worked really well. I'm able to share the screens with you. I can show you videos. I can show what if scenarios. And it's really been nice. And you can do it from the comfort of your own home. It's actually been pretty cool. We can also, of course, talk over the phone. We can exchange emails. And just for those of you that are joining us, I want you to know that you can get, anybody can get, our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name and your email address, hit the send button, and boom, starting at 10:30 next Friday, you'll start getting our newsletter. And we've been doing this. We've been providing this newsletter since March of 2009. I find that just unbelievable that we've been doing it for that long. But we have, and every Friday at 10:30, never missed one, except for the week of Thanksgiving. We send our newsletter out on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. But besides that, every other Friday, 10:30, that's how we do it. Well, when I last left you, I told you that we would talk about something that's called the hierarchy of financial needs. And I oftentimes find that when people choose to start thinking about their personal finances, they have to find a place of where to start. And many people, when they think about financial planning, is, oh my goodness, Mark, I've accumulated some money in the bank. What should I do with it? And that's not the best way to start thinking about preparing your financial plan or preparing for what you need for your financial future. It actually starts with a simple concept called cash flow. What cash flow is we take a look at how much money is coming into the house and how much money is going out of the house. So let's say you're making $50,000 a year. You have taxes taken from your paycheck. Maybe you even have money going into your 401k plan. But ultimately, you get a net check that's deposited into your checking account. And you see that money that goes there, and each week or every 2 weeks, it keeps going in. But then money goes out, doesn't it? You got to pay for gas. You got to pay for electric. You got to pay for your rent or your mortgage. You have to pay for food. You have to pay for clothes. You have to pay for Netflix. You got to pay for all sorts of things. But at the end of the month, is there more money in your bank account than there was when the month started? You see, that's the big question to start. In order to do effective financial planning, you have to have something that's called positive cash flow, meaning that there's more money coming in than there is money going out. So if you haven't hit that spot yet, where there's not enough money coming in to cover your expenses, you shouldn't be thinking about investing money. You shouldn't think of, be thinking about any of this other stuff. You got to figure out, how do I cover my day-to-day costs? Now, if your day-to-day costs are more than what you're making, you have two choices. Choice number one is spend less. And sometimes you'll say, well, I can't figure out a way to spend less. Well, then the other option is make more. And you might say, well, I can't make more in the job that I have. Well, maybe it means finding a second job, or a gig job, as they call it. Maybe you want to drive for Uber. Maybe you want to do Postmates. Maybe you want to find a part-time job somewhere, waitressing or working at a, as a bartender. But you need to have enough money coming into your household that is greater than what is going out. Because if it isn't, you will never find success. In fact, you will find yourself falling further and further and further into a hole that we call debt. And there's good debt and there's bad debt. Now, good debt, I would call a mortgage. You buy a house, like, look, the house that you might want to buy, let's say it's $500,000. It's a lot of money for a house. No one has $500,000 laying around to buy a house, but maybe you have $100,000 saved to put towards that house, but you want to borrow money from the bank, $400,000, so that you can buy that house. And the bank says, "You, we'll give you $400,000 if you agree to pay us a small amount of money every month for 30 years plus interest." And with interest rates being as low as they are right now, 2-3%, pretty low on a mortgage interest. I mean, you can get a $400,000 mortgage for under $2,000 a month. Well under $2,000 a month, actually. So is it something that you can afford? Perhaps. But I call that good debt, because you're paying off something while still trying to build value and holding value in your home. Now, if you were to take a mortgage for $500,000 and bought a $500,000 home, I can't necessarily say that that's good debt, because there's no guarantee that the value of your house is going to go up. Now, many people ask me, Mark, what do you think about the value of houses? Do you think that's going to go up in value? Well, I think that housing prices are pretty strong right now. I think they have a potential to remain strong and perhaps even go up. And that'll probably be the case for the next 2 or 3 years. But in 2023, at least that's what the prediction says right now, and I don't have any crystal ball in front of me, but there is the likelihood that interest rates are going to start to go back up. And while interest rates going up might be good for people that have CDs at the bank, or people that have money markets, you know, that want to get a higher interest on their money, it doesn't bode well for those that want to borrow money, because it's going to cost you more money to borrow if interest rates go up. But when interest rates go up, the value of your houses might be forced down. That's because the typical person who was able to afford your house 3 years ago might not be able to get enough money based upon the costs of the mortgage to be able to pay that price for your house. And there may be pressure on the value of your house having to go down a little bit. Now, there's no guarantee that's going to happen, but it is something that I always caution people about. Make sure that you're putting enough of a down payment down on your house so that you have enough equity there, that you have enough room so that even if the value of your home went down when you sold it, you'd still be able to walk away with a little bit. That's important, but that's good debt. Mortgage debt is good debt. What's bad debt? Credit cards. You know, over the past 6 months, one of the things that's gone up here in America has been the savings rate, because we haven't been spending as much money. But it's very easy to get locked into putting your credit card up through a lot of different mechanisms, whether it's online services and having these monthly subscription fees continue to build. And sometimes you even forget about those and they all build up. And then all of a sudden you get your credit card bill and you go, geez, my credit card bill is $1,500. I don't have $1,500 this month to pay that down. I'll send $300. And then the remaining $1,200 is subject to a 20% interest rate. Well, 1/12 of 20%, because it's every month. But those interest charges build up very quickly. And that is not a good use of your money. I will tell you an interesting story. We had a client, or I wasn't actually a client, a prospect, someone who was actually listening to this radio show. It's got to be about 6 or 7 years ago. They came to our office. They had $60,000 in the bank. And their main reason for coming to visit us was they said, I have $60,000 in the bank and I'm looking to do something with it. Well, honestly, in our office at this point, we don't, first of all, we do financial planning first, but the minimum investment in our office is usually $300,000 to $400,000 as a minimum. But she comes in with this $60,000 and she says, what should I do with it? And she's looking for an investment strategy. And I asked her a little bit about the rest of her life. And she told me, well, I rent this apartment in Danvers. I've got a job as a physical therapist. I participate in my 401k plan. I have car payments. I have this credit card that's, I got $25,000 on my credit card. And I was like, hold, stop. You have $25,000 in your credit card. And she said, yeah. And I said, and how much do you spend every month to pay down that credit card? She says, usually about $500 or $600 a month. And I said, wait a second. You're spending paying 20% interest on $25,000. 20% interest on $25,000 is roughly $5,000 a year in interest. She was never going to pay that down. It's going to take her something like 20 or 30 years to pay that down. But meanwhile, she was looking to take the $60,000 that she had in the bank and hope that I could get her 6 to 8% on her money. And I said, the smart move. The smart move is to take $25,000 from the $60,000 in the bank and pay off your credit card. And she says to me, but yeah, but if I did that, then I'd only have $35,000 left. And that is one of the challenges that we see with folks in trying to understand personal finance. Carrying debt like credit card debt is bad debt. And if you have the cash and the resources to be able to pay it off, pay it off. There's no deduction benefit for you. It's just costing you more and more and more money. I always find it interesting when someone will go to a store and they'll see there's a suit that they saw that costs $100. And they say, I'm not paying $100. But all of a sudden they'll see, oh, the suit's now 20% off. And now instead of $100, it's $80. And they say, oh, I can save $20. I don't know if you saved anything. The price just went down. And I'll buy it for $80. And now I'll put it on my credit card. But if you don't pay the credit card off that same month when you get the bill, then you start adding interest to it. And so you could end up paying $100, $120, $150 for that suit if you're just paying the minimum payments. Folks, we have to be a little bit smarter with how we're spending our money. And those that do it well. But getting yourself out of credit card debt, especially when you have cash around, earning, frankly, next to nothing in the bank, I would strongly encourage you to start to pay down that debt. So we were talking about this hierarchy of financial needs, where the first thing that you need to do is to get your cash flow under control, making sure that you're bringing in enough money to cover all of your expenses. And that money should cover your basic personal needs, your food, your housing, your transportation, and your day-to-day expenses. The next area, once you're able to do that, is making sure that you have a cushion, what I call that financial safety cushion. I want to tell you a little bit more about that because that's real important. Before we invest money, we need to have the safety cushion. So we're going to talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial. Money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above the soon-to-be-opening Daniela's Restaurant on 41 Cross Street. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you're getting ready for this fall weather to break in here. Leaves are starting to change colors. And, you know, right now, this is the time when usually I'm talking on the radio about the Topsfield Fair. Well, this is the time that I run the B'nai B'rith booth at the Topsfield Fair, and we're all in. We're making 625 pounds of brisket and hundreds of gallons of chicken soup and all that kind of stuff. But fortunately, it's not going to happen this year. And I understand why. I mean, it's the right thing to do to not be able to hold the Topsfield Fair. We have to keep everybody safe. But I am going to miss it this year. But honestly, I'm actually enjoying the break as well. But there's plenty of things to see, plenty of sights to see. Head up to New Hampshire, head up to Maine, head up to Vermont, and check out the ever-changing foliage up there. It'll start here in the next couple weeks or so. But hope you're all doing well. Hope you're gearing up. And, you know, Christmas is, I don't know how many days, maybe 100 days away or so. It's already maybe even less than that. It's getting close, folks. All those holidays, all these things to do. Will we gather for Thanksgiving? What will your Thanksgiving table look like this year? What will Christmas dinner look like this year? Will you be able to gather in church this year for Christmas? I know at my temple where we celebrate Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we chose not to gather in our temple. We shut the temple down and it's been closed since March, but we delivered pre-recorded services to our members. I give a lot of credit to a lot of the folks at our temple who put this together. It was like watching a Netflix movie every day. We actually pre-recorded it over a three-week period of time where everybody was taking their turns, whether it's parts that they had, prayers that they shared, songs that they sang, etc., independently at the temple all alone so that we were all fully socially distanced. And these five cameramen took in five different camera angles, took pictures of everybody, took the recordings of everybody, then brought it back to their studio and patched in the audio files, the video files, so that when you turned it on through our website, templeemmanuel.net, or we're at Temple Emmanuel in Andover, you were able to watch the High Holidays starting at, say, 10:30. You hit the play button, and it was like watching a Netflix movie. I could fast forward, I could rewind, I could pause, and we could do it from the comfort of our own homes. It was really remarkable, and kudos to the entire team that put that all together. And I know that, look, back in Easter, Easter time of April, many churches had to deal with that same type of a situation. We had to recreate something that we've never done before. And I'm sure the churches, again, will be looking as we head towards Christmas to try to create the proper masses and whatever services that you're trying to do so that it works for your congregation to try to keep that community together. And that's really what this is all about. It's trying to still figure out ways that we can bring our community together, even during these most challenging of times, and making the best of it. You know, we're here to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. But when it comes to money, money seems to touch everything from, you know, your day-to-day activities to anything from sports to politics to government to everything. Money is everything. Look, people say you're happier when you have money. Well, I think there's something to be said for that. But there becomes a point where you say, I have enough money. Or I wish I had more, but this is enough to get me by. You know, there was a study that was done that asked people, how much would you have to make to feel happy? And I thought that was an interesting way to put it. I think another people had also said, how much money would you have to feel like you have enough money to do what you want to do? That was another way to post it. And many people came back with the same kind of answer. And what that answer was, it was all based on income, by the way. They said, if I could make twice as much money as I'm making right now, I'd be happy, or I'd feel that I have everything that I want. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to me because a lot of the things that we hear on the news really revolve around how much money we make. When it comes down to taxes, it says if you're making X number of dollars, you're going to be in this tax bracket. Or you're considered rich or poor if you're making this amount of money. And I think there's something very wrong with that because I don't care how much money you make. How much money you make does not impress me at all. It's how much money you keep that matters. Because there is likely to be a third of your life when you're not making any money at all? Well, certainly you weren't making any money between, let's say, age zero, when you were newborn, until you're, let's say, a late teenager. But then when you choose to retire, how much money are you making? You might be receiving income from Social Security. You might be receiving income from a pension or from distributions from your investment account. But how much are you actually making is what's called earned income. All of that stops. And when you don't have earned income, you have to rely on what you kept, right? It's not about what you make. It's about what you kept. Because if you don't keep enough money, if you don't continue to accumulate dollars to support your life, you run into a problem of running out of money at a later point in your life. And I think that is the biggest fear that people have. The biggest fear is that you will outlive your own money. And one of the things that we work on at Friedman Financial is giving our clients a perspective so that they can see everything that they have, to see what it all looks like, and to see how that money can be used along with Social Security, pension if you have it, and other assets to make sure that you have enough income to deliver and do what you want. And what I always find amazing is how many people's eyes open up when they see the picture, when they see the illustration of what they have and how it can work for them and how they can do things that they never imagined they could do because they didn't have all of the information in front of them. You see, many people think about their investment account, their 401k, their brokerage account, whatever, as one account. Oh, this, or even digging even further, I own XYZ stock or ABC mutual fund, and this fund did bad, this stock did poorly, this one did good, this one did exceptional. When you have to look at all of it in aggregate, you can gain a much greater appreciation for everything you have so that you can have control and you can understand how to use that money in the smartest possible way so that you can achieve the goals that you want. But it all starts with meeting what we call the hierarchy of financial needs. And the first thing you have to do to get there, number one, is what we call cash flow and basic needs, making sure that the money that's coming into the house is greater than the money that's going out of the house. Because I think that's rather obvious. If money's going out faster than what it's coming in, guess what happens? You run out of money. That doesn't take rocket science. If you were pouring water into a bucket and the bucket had a hole at the bottom of it, if it had a big hole and water was coming out as fast as it was going in or even faster, then there's never going to be any water in the bucket. But if the water was continuously pouring into the bucket, but there were a few little holes, like a little sprinkler coming out, so that water was coming out and that was your money that was coming out of the portfolio, yet money was still going into the bucket, you'd be okay. You just got to make sure that the holes in the bucket don't get too big. That's what we try to do at Friedman Financial. And we've done it successfully for more than 450 families that we currently serve today and probably, I don't know, 1,000 more before that, because many people have passed away. I mean, Dad started this business in 1968. Dad started this 52 years ago. So yeah, we deal with people that pass away. We deal with new people that come into the mix, new generations of folks, the transition of wealth, all of that. That's what we deal with here. So once you get the cash flow under control, the next thing you have to make sure you have is what you call financial safety. And what that is what we call an emergency fund. An emergency fund represents somewhere between 3 to 6 months of your fixed monthly expenses. Now, many people don't know what that is. And what I also find interesting is when people tell me what they think it is, it's often far lower than what it really is. I met with someone a few weeks ago and I told them that they were spending about $8,000 a month. And he said to me, there's no way I spend about $4,000 a month. And one of the analyses that we do for somebody is we take a look at their bank statements. We look at 6 months of their bank statements to see what their spending habits have been, Now, I don't care whether you shop at Henry's Market or shop at Kohl's or shop at Neiman Marcus or Brooks Brothers or wherever else you choose to go. What we need to first understand is how much money's coming in and what's going out, so that we can get an estimate of what you're spending. And what I began to show him was that, yeah, maybe your electric bill, cable bill, water bill, gas bill, all of these items, car payments, et cetera, total $2,000. But you also spend $2,000 on your mortgage. You also have life insurance payments. You also go out to eat. You also give gifts to your grandkids and all of those other things. And he began to realize, oh my goodness, this is really coming out to $8,000 a month. Folks, we need to understand what we're spending and not shortchange ourselves. So we need to understand that. And so if that number is $8,000 that you're spending every month, multiply that times three, that's $24,000. Multiply that times six, that's $48,000. And if you don't have $24,000 to $48,000 in a bank account earning, I don't care if it's earning zero or even negative percent, if it's in the bank and it's safe and secure and FDIC insured, that's the resource that you can turn to when you need to repair the driveway or the roof goes or the boiler blows. That's where you turn to. If your emergency fund is your investment account, you're not really investing your money. An investment account is something that you don't plan to touch for at least 3 to 5 years. Emergency money is stuff that you need right now and need readily, easily accessible money without having to risk or take any losses on the money. So that's number one. You need to have financial safety by having that emergency fund. And did you know that 47% of adults say they don't have enough savings, everything to cover 3 months of expenses? Almost half of America is telling us they don't have enough money saved to cover 3 months of expenses. Now, that statistic comes from almost a year-old study, October of 2019, coming from New York Life Investments. I tend to believe that more and more people are actually saving a little bit more money right now because we're not spending as much. But don't look at this money that you've accumulated as money that you should be spending right away. Use that to save as your emergency fund. The other thing that you need to look towards is to make sure that you have enough insurance coverage. Do you have disability insurance? Disability insurance is if you get hurt, if you get injured and you can't do your job, is there insurance that will pay you so that you don't have to go back to work or pay you and your family so that because you can't go back to work? Do you have disability insurance? If your employer doesn't have it, it might be a good idea to buy some on your own. Do you have life insurance? If you're married, if you have children, if you have a mortgage, it's imperative that you have enough coverage, if you don't have the assets, of course, to make sure that money comes into play if you do get killed or you die, so that your children, your spouse, your home, your major expenses are taken care of. Do you have the proper health insurance? Do you have the right automobile insurance? Do you have the right homeowner's insurance? And do you have an umbrella policy? And I'm finding more and more people that we're running into don't realize what an umbrella policy is, and oftentimes they don't even have one. Let's say, for instance, you're in a car crash, you're in an automobile accident, and your policy says that if you get into an accident, your insurance company will pay $50,000 per individual to cover expenses and $100,000 per accident. Well, if you were to injure somebody, what's the likelihood that they're going to sue you for more than $50,000? I think that's probably pretty likely. But if you go towards if you buy an umbrella policy, let's say a $1 million umbrella policy, that provides an additional $1 million of coverage. If someone gets injured through your car, slips at your home, that's through your automobile or homeowners, that extra $1 million of coverage will be there to provide for them so that you don't have to dig into your own personal resources or put yourself into debt. Now, how much does one of those umbrella policies cost? Usually not much, $300, $500, $600. $50 a month, $75 a month. That's nothing. Something that you should probably be thinking about. If you don't have an umbrella policy, I'd encourage you to reach out to your property and casualty agent and ask them how you go about getting one, because that is one of the types of coverages that you need. That's what financial safety is all about, making sure that you have an emergency fund, making sure that you have proper life, disability, homeowners, automobile, and umbrella coverage. The next thing we need to do in this hierarchy of financial needs is to figure out now, once we have all of the baseline set, how do we accumulate wealth? And when we get back, we're going to talk about that. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Restaurant on 41 Cross Street. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all around the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Our goal has always been to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Our advice that we provide is very personal. We are fiduciaries. We are designed. We are required to place your interest first. And we are certified financial planner professionals. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, I'd encourage you to give us a call. We're happy to set up Zoom meetings with you. We can talk over the phone, exchange emails, and when the time is right, we will open our doors and invite you into our office as well. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or you can visit us on the web, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And if you'd like, each and every Friday, we provide a free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. We've been delivering it to our subscribers since March of 2009. That's right, 11 years ago, 52 consecutive weeks for 11 years we've been doing this. If you want to get this free newsletter that includes three little snippets, three little pieces of financial advice in a language you can understand, go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and we'll get you registered and signed up so that you can start receiving that newsletter every Friday at 10:30 in the morning in your inbox. When we last left, we were talking about the hierarchy of financial needs. The first thing we talked about was how to get started. We talked about the importance of financial planning from what I call the ground up, not from a top-down approach. Many people look at financial planning and they say, oh, you got to get a few investments together first, and then we'll do some financial planning. That is not how we do it at Friedman Financial. Before we ever make any type of investment recommendation to you, we need to know where everything is and what everything is worth. We need to make sure that you're living in a world of what's called positive cash flow, meaning that money that's coming in is more than the money that's going out. Because if it's not, you're never going to get ahead of the game. You're never going to be able to put money aside for your future if you're always having to dig a deeper and deeper and deeper hole. So we want to make sure that you have positive cash flow. We then want to develop a net worth statement so we know where everything is and what everything is worth. We then want to make sure that you've set the financial safety zones appropriately, that you have an emergency fund in the bank that's equal to 3 to 6 months' expenses, that you have appropriate life insurance, disability insurance, automobile, homeowners, and umbrella coverage. And if you don't, we don't even sell that stuff. We look through we look at what you have, and we will have you go back to your property and casualty agent to make sure that you have the right stuff. I want to make sure that your safety line, your financial safety line is established, and you know what it is, and you know that you can rely on those resources. But the next step, this is the one that gets people excited. How do we accumulate wealth? How do we grow our money? How do we make money? Well, this involves first to start participating in your retirement plan, whether it's a 401k, a 403b, a 457 plan, an IRA, a Roth IRA, whatever it is that's right for you. And if you don't know which one it is, we can certainly guide you and help you. Now, if you're a participant in your 401k or your 403b, now these are the opportunities for you to put money aside on a pre-tax basis, or if you're doing a Roth 401k plan on an after-tax basis, you get to select a whole bunch of investments. You want to make sure that you're investing properly in a way that aligns with your risk tolerance, so that you understand that the markets are going to go up and down. There will be bumps along the way. And how much of a bump, how much of a divot can you stomach? You need to understand that. And we want to help guide you to make sure that you're positioned properly with your 401k. Now, oftentimes, people have enough money put aside in their 401k that they also have other money that's left over, and they want to set up a personal investment account. And we have to decide what's the right way to invest that money. Now, you've heard me several times. I've been doing this for almost 8 years on this radio station. We strongly advise against buying individual stocks. That's all that everybody seems to want to talk about, especially when, you know, the stock market is as volatile as it is. I would much rather see you buy something that's called a mutual fund, an exchange-traded fund, or an index fund. What these types of products are, they are securities that are baskets of stocks rather than a single stock. Let's say you wanted to buy Coca-Cola or you wanted to buy Pepsi as a stock. Do you think it might be safer if you were able to buy a portfolio of stocks that might include both Coke and Pepsi in it as part of the basket? Think about this. Imagine you were sitting home and you're watching the news and you hear a story in Topeka, Kansas of a kid that cracked open a bottle of Coca-Cola and drank it and died because there was poison in it. How quickly would you be rushing out to buy Coca-Cola right now? Probably not very fast. Of course, Coca-Cola would step up, their PR people would step up and say that this was an isolated situation, but you'd still be a little bit scared. And what do you think that's going to do to Coca-Cola's stock price? Sure, it would go down, but who might benefit? Pepsi might benefit. See, if you had both of them in your portfolio, you might not feel the downward loss as much. You might have that minimized. It would work towards your advantage, hopefully, along with all of the other securities that are in the mix. I always find it fascinating that when Michael Jordan decided to retire from basketball, from the Chicago Bulls, he decided to retire from basketball. On that day, what happened to Nike stock? It went down. Now, wait a second. Were they making sneakers any different? Were they making Air Jordans any different on the day after Michael Jordan retired from the day that Michael Jordan was working and playing basketball for the Chicago Bulls? Absolutely not. But the stock dropped. Why did it drop? They're still making the sneakers the same way. Now, Nike found other ways to try to prop up their stock price again by creating other people that would wear their products. Michael ended up continuing to do well. Of course, he went off to play baseball. Then he went to the Washington Wizards, continues to own the Charlotte Hornets, and has done a lot of other things. But that's what happens. This crazy volatility. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense why a stock goes up or down. But if you own it in a mutual fund, if you're well allocated, if you're buying big companies and small companies and value companies and growth companies and international companies and developing market companies, all of those things, and have a proper combination that aligns with your risk tolerance, you are going to find success. Now, I make that sound really easy here on the radio. And it can be easy if you take a little bit of time to educate yourself. But most people say, this sounds like something that I need to be educated on for a long period of time. I might get a little education now, but the situation, the markets change, the economic environment changes, tax law changes, regulations change, the popularity of different products change. Think about companies like Kodak. Remember when you used to go to Disney World and there was Kodak photo spots? How many of those have you seen around? It's gone, right? If you lived here in Peabody, there was, what was it called? Eastman Gelatin. That was right here in Peabody. It's not Eastman Gelatin anymore. That was all part of Kodak. Gone. Businesses change and new ones come into play. I would much rather allow portfolio managers, professional portfolio managers, build an investment portfolio in a mutual fund that incorporates a bunch of stocks, let's say 100 or 200 or 300 stocks in a mutual fund, where you get a single price for that mutual fund, but you have a tremendous diversification. You get professional money management. You get ease of liquidity. You can sell it at any time. You might even get a dividend from it. You can follow it. You can track it. And you have minimized your risk. And then when you layer on four or five or even more other mutual funds or exchange-traded funds or index funds. Now you begin to develop a portfolio. And through a financial advisor, we can guide you towards the success there. Now, whether it's in an individual investment, whether it's in a retirement account, in your 401k, 403b, all of that stuff, a financial advisor will look at the big picture and guide you through that. Accumulating wealth and saving for longer-term goals is incredibly important. The other thing that you want to try to do during this phase is try to take some of that excess cash and pay down some additional outstanding debt that you might have, because ultimately, you're searching for the next stage in the hierarchy of financial needs, which is financial freedom. And you know you have financial freedom when you've accumulated enough money in retirement that you can walk away from work on your terms, that you don't have to sit worried that, oh my goodness, today I might get called into the office and they hand me my pink slip and send me on my way. Don't you want to be in control? You should have the ability to say, you know what? I want to keep working here because I enjoy working here. But if they let me go or they lay me off or whatever it is, I know that I have enough resources to support myself. That's called financial freedom. It's the opportunity for you to be able to perhaps even help out with your grandchildren's education costs, help out the kids if they need it, go on vacations when you want, and making sure that you have adequate dollars and resources set aside so that if you do need long-term care coverage, that you either have it through long-term care insurance, that you have it through money that you've accumulated, that you are set through financial freedom, that you do not need to be a burden to your children. And you get there, you do that when you follow the hierarchy of financial needs, and you know that you've actually hit the pinnacle when you can step into this area called legacy planning, when you realize I have enough. I've accumulated enough resources that I can begin thinking about gifting. I can think about charitably giving. I can think about structuring my estate so that there's plans for me to leave money to my children or my grandchildren or to help pay for the education costs. But I also want to make sure that I don't pay more taxes than I need to. All of those pieces, that's what's called the hierarchy of financial needs. It starts with making sure that you have positive cash flow, more money coming in than there is going out. Then it goes to the next stage up is making sure, do I have an emergency fund? Do I have 3 to 6 months of my expenses set aside in an account so that I can cover any emergency needs that pop up? Do I have proper insurance, life insurance, disability insurance, homeowners, automobile, umbrella coverage? And perhaps as you get older, perhaps even long-term care insurance. Have I accumulated enough wealth? Have I reached the point where I've put enough money aside both in tax-deferred accounts and taxable accounts so that I know when it's time to take money out in retirement that I will have financial freedom, that I will have resources, maybe it's Social Security, maybe it's a pension, but I'll also have resources coming from the money that I've accumulated so that I can continue to do what I'm doing, that I love to do, that I can give money to my kids, give money to my grandchildren, have fun with them, take them on vacations and do what I want to do. And then finally, know that you've built enough money so that you can leave a legacy to the next generation when the time comes. That terrible time comes when we all hit that wall, when our life finally ends. Folks, that's what we call the hierarchy of financial needs. It's the steps that we take at Friedman Financial every single day. And we do it for the 450 households that we serve. And if now is the right time for you to start talking to a financial advisor, if now is the time for you to get serious about having somebody understand where everything is and what everything is worth, I'd be delighted to talk with you. Give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. You can leave a message with Jody and we'll schedule some time for you to schedule a Zoom call, a phone call, an email, and at some point we'll have you come into the office as well. But if you want to learn more about Friedman Financial, visit us on the website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. That's going to do it for me today. I got to make room for Scott Whitley and Wicked Bites. Let's see what he's talking about. I'm getting hungry already thinking about what Scott's going to talk about. Have a great day, everybody. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you.
Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.